In this edition of Global Print, dear viewer, I'm going to tell you about Bangladesh. Now, a very interesting story is unfolding in Dhaka, which is the capital of Bangladesh, as you know, over the last week or so, when 40 celebrities, international celebrities like Hillary Clinton, Vinod Khosla, Narayan Murthy, even Bono, the big rock star, wrote a letter to the Washington Post. It was a paid advertisement, so it was a big letter. It cost some $70,000 or perhaps even more money, in which they directly addressed the Prime Minister of Bangladesh about one of Bangladesh's most well-known and influential citizens, a civil society person called Muhammad Yunus. But before I continue this story and tell you why this is such an interesting thing that's unfolding, dear viewer, I'd like to make an appeal to you. Please do subscribe and pay just a little bit. It's ₹159 only. This is for the Prince YouTube channel. So if you subscribe, you have access to exclusive stories, videos, privileges and benefits that other non-subscribers don't have. So I can assure you that it will be worth your while. And also you will help us continue with our unique and ubiquitous brand of journalism at the Print. So back to Bangladesh and the letter that these 40 internationally recognized celebrities wrote to Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. Like I said earlier, it was a paid up advertisement in the Washington Post. And the first question you would ask is, why was it a paid up ad? I mean, why couldn't it have been a story that somebody wrote? And I think the answer to that is that when these people would have gone to the newspaper and said, hey, listen, this is a letter that we have, the editor would have taken a call or you know, somebody senior and said that this is essentially a lobbying exercise. This is something that you want to tell the Prime Minister of Bangladesh. And therefore, the news pages, which are sacrosanct, newsprint is expensive. You know, it's the newspaper has a reputation of just not publishing anything, and you've publish the news that's fit to print. So you print the news that's fit to print. And they would have said, okay, listen, this is essentially something that you want to say. So why don't you buy an ad in the paper and say it? And this is exactly what these people have done. And also for these people themselves, for these celebrities, to appear non-partisan, which is that we will pay for something that we believe in. And therefore, we will pick the vehicle of influence that we also trust. And in this case, it was the Washington Post, certainly one of the world's most remarkable newspapers. Now, look at the letter that these celebrities have signed on to. I'm going to read a little bit from the letter that these 40 celebrities signed on to, and here it is. It is painful to see Professor Yunus, a man of impeccable integrity and his life's work, unfairly attacked and repeatedly harassed and investigated by your government. This is one part of the letter. And so what's going on? Who is Muhammad Yunus? He is an 82-year-old man, a very powerful, a very influential citizen of Bangladesh. He has been a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, as well as several other medals and accolades given by the top institutions of the US and elsewhere in the world. And remember that there are only 7 people in the world like Martin Luther King Jr., the Dalai Lama, Nelson Mandela, who have also won all these awards and accolades. So basically, the point I'm trying to make is that he's a very special person. But what is it that he's done? I mean, why has he won all these awards? Several decades ago, Muhammad Yunus began this microcredit institution called the Grameen Bank. And what that does is that it lends very small sums of money. And, you know, perhaps you know what a microcredit company does, dear viewer. But for those who don't, it's very simple. You get several people together. So in the Grameen Bank's case, several women, especially, which are recipients of this credit. So it's microcredit because it's very small credit. So a few rupees, a few hundred taka, which is the Bangladeshi currency, is lent or credited to people, and with which they make an enterprise or they start something small, like a, you know, and then they sort of use that, make a profit and return this money. And the Grameen Bank's rate of return, its success rate is so high, it's almost like 99%. which if you compare with any other banking system in any part of the world, is incredibly high. I mean, you know, banking loans routinely are not returned by people, whether it's in India or abroad. So the Grameen Bank is a hugely successful institution, and it revolutionized Bangladesh's sort of rural poverty in 2021. Of course, we were in the middle of COVID. So last year, Bangladesh celebrated 50 years of its independence from Pakistan. We all know that the war was fought in 1971 when Pakistan was broken up with a little help from India. So India and Bangladesh have remained firm friends ever since, give or take a few dispensations. So just to come back to Muhammad Yunus, so this endemic poverty that Bangladesh was once associated with, desperate hunger, people in the streets, women, children especially. And let me tell you that Bangladesh is such a success story. And part of that credit should go to Muhammad Yunus at his Grameen Bank, because he, in a sense, revolutionized the villages. Not just him alone, of course, the Bangladeshi governments over the years have done a lot. And nobody has done more than Sheikh Hasina. She is an incredible prime minister. She has been prime minister four times already. And later this year, when elections are held in Bangladesh, she is most likely to win again. She and her party, the Awami League, are most likely to win again for an unprecedented fifth term. She is truly a remarkable woman. You may know a little bit about her, dear viewer. Her father, Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, was Bangladesh's first prime minister, of course, but he's also known as the father of the nation, Bangabandhu, the father of Bengal or Bangladesh. And a great man. He was the one who, in the run-up to the 1971 war, in the couple of years previously, he took on the Pakistan military. Remember that at the time, East Pakistan was, you know, an integral part of Pakistan, although it was sort of separated by this sort of vast expanse of India. Won the elections in a couple of years previous to the 71 war, was denied the prime ministership, and, you know, the rest is history. So he was thrown into jail. Anyway, Bangabandhu, an absolutely incredible, very, very charismatic leader. So after the war is fought and the war is won and Bangladesh is a new nation, he emerges from jail, from prison, and leads the country for only 4 years. Because on the 15th of August, 1975, he and his wife and his entire family, his daughters, his sons, his 11-year-old son, Russell, the husbands of his daughters, everybody sleeping at night in their home, in their ancestral home, which is in Dhanmundi, a very central part of Dhaka. And they are massacred in their sleep in cold blood, obviously by radical forces. You can only suspect where they came from. Did they come from the military-backed ideological parties like the Jamaat-e-Islami? We don't know. The jury is out. Was it backed by Pakistan? We don't know either. But there are a lot of suspicions and rumors. So Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, who led his country for a mere 4 years. And look at the date on which this entire family was massacred. And if you go to their house in Dhanmundi, it's now a museum. It's very, very moving, because the blood stains from that massacre, that midnight knock on the door that was fatal for the entire family. Bloodstains are still, you can still see some of those sort of very, very dark, very brown, and now fading bloodstains on the staircase in that Dhanmundi house. It's very moving, dear viewer, and I would suggest that if any one of you is going to Bangladesh, you should really not miss a chance to go to that museum. And yes, one other thing, the date on which this massacre took place, the 15th of August, 1975, India's Independence Day. So somebody trying to send a message to say, hey, you India, watch out. You were trying to break up Pakistan. You broke up Pakistan and undermined the sovereignty, the two-nation theory that Pakistan was built on, created a new nation. Watch out, because we are here and we can also damage you. Here is Sheikh Hasina. And the reason Hasina survived and is still alive to tell the tale is because she and her sister Rehana were not in the house. They were not in Dhaka. They were in Germany because Hasina's husband was a professor at a university there, and she was with him and her family. And so was Hasina's sister, Rehana. So those two sisters survived, but the rest of the family was massacred. So you can imagine, dear viewer, what this has done to Hasina's personality, to her character. I mean, she must be having nightmares every night, grappling with the ghosts of who killed her father and her parents, her entire family. And of course, she has emerged so much the stronger for it. And so the question, why are 40 international celebrities writing a letter to Sheikh Hasina, the Prime Minister of Bangladesh? And I've just told you what an amazingly brave woman she is to be able to stand up in the face of these kind of threats, not just by the radical Islamist groups, but by lots of other unsavory characters. And, you know, in our part of the world, there are lots of them. Why is Hillary Clinton, Narayan Murthy, Vinod Khosla, Bono, Richard Branson, why are these guys writing a letter to Sheikh Hasina saying that a government must stop attacking Muhammad Yunus? That sounds like a contradiction in terms. You don't really do this to one of the world's most interesting women, not just South Asia, but Satish is perhaps South Asia's most courageous and one of its most interesting leaders, certainly one of the world's most interesting leaders. So why are these people writing a letter to her and indirectly censuring her? Now, there are two answers to that question. And the first is that this Grameen Bank, and by the way, Muhammad Yunus also began a couple of other companies. One is called Grameen Phones. And again, that sort of, you know, revolutionized sort of grassroots telecommunications, if you like. Now, these companies are being investigated for corruption. It seems as if there was there were kickbacks that were paid. We don't know exactly what the details are. But Hasina is not going to go after Yunus because several thousand taka were paid in bribe, allegedly, by somebody to somebody else. The real reason is the following. What happened in 2000, this is more than 25 years ago, dear viewer. So in 2007 and 8, Bangladeshi politics was going through this severe upheaval. The leaders of the two political parties, the Bangladesh Nationalist Party, BNP, led by Khaleda Zia, and her party, which is Hasina's party, the Awami League, were at daggers drawn, ranged against each other. And it was a terrible time in Bangladeshi politics. So the army, the military, took shelter behind this quasi-democratic rule, if you like, and ran the country for 2 years behind the scenes. Now, at that time, what Muhammad Yunus did is that he launched a political party called the Nagorik Shanti Party. And this is the genesis of this antagonism between Hasina and Yunus, because Hasina felt that Yunus was trying to discredit her, was trying to get the military after her. And basically he was against democratic forces in Bangladesh and was siding with the military. And she was really, really mad about that. So that is really the genesis of this quarrel with Yunus, which has remained these last 15 odd years. Again, in 2012, when the Padma Bridge, also spelled Padma, P-A-D-M-A, but it's pronounced Padma in Bengali. What happened was that in 2012, the World Bank pulled its financing from the construction of this Padma Bridge. And Hasina was really mad about that. And she blamed Yunus again for influencing his international sort of friends in the World Bank and elsewhere. And she believed that he was the one who basically got the World Bank to pull its funding. Now, that's unlikely, not possible, although the jury's out. Nobody knows exactly for sure what happened, but the World Bank did issue a very detailed note about why it was pulling its funding. It accused SNC-Lavalin, the Canadian company, and it basically said that it had found evidence of kickbacks. Be that as it may, Hasina was not convinced at all. She thought Yunus was behind this whole thing. She said, the country, that's Bangladesh, is going to build this bridge. And last year, 2021, 9 years later, this bridge was indeed built. And I've seen the bridge. I went to Bangladesh to see it. And it's an absolutely spectacular bridge, dear viewer, let me tell you. So this is a great achievement on the part of Bangladesh as well as on the part of Sheikh Hasina, who basically pulled up her straps and the government and said to them, listen, you better get your act together and build this bridge. So what's the moral of the story? In my view, I think Sheikh Hasina should drop this animus that she holds against Mohammed Yunus, because it's completely unnecessary and actually it's pretty irrelevant. Because Yunus is 82 years old. He is, of course, a very influential figure, but he really is in no state or shape to shape the politics of Bangladesh. She is Bangladesh's most powerful leader. In fact, one of South Asia's most powerful leader. In fact, you can say that Hasina is Bangladesh and Bangladesh is Hasina. So she should drop this anger that she has. It diminishes her, because what she's doing is she's stooping low to attack this man. And it's a completely unnecessary attack. You know, she should forget about him. She should let the agencies charge him, accuse him, investigate him of any alleged corruption, information that they may have. Let them do their job. She must rise up above all of this. She has a really good relationship with India, especially under the Narendra Modi government. While she is the leader of a much smaller country than India, but she has done so much for India and for the region, including opening up connectivity, railroad links. But, you know, be that as it may, and I urge you to read my column. The short point that I'm making is that Sheikh Hasina is bigger than everybody in her country and bigger than most people, at least in our part of the world. This doesn't behove her well. So she should drop her antagonism against Mohammed Yunus, and she should move forward, plow forward, develop her country as she has been doing all these years. I look forward to your comments and suggestions, dear viewer, on this video. Thank you so much for watching.